First Peter chapter 2, and I'd like to read just verses 13 through 17, where Peter says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." Our text for this morning is 1 Peter 2:17. Simple words set before us in the form of four Christian mottos. I think all of you know what a motto is. A common example of a motto is the scout motto, "Be prepared." Webster defines a motto like this: as a maxim adopted as a principle of behavior. A motto, therefore, is a saying adopted by individuals as a standard by which to live. Do you know what the motto of the United States of America is? "In God we trust." This is a motto. In our text this morning, we have four Christian mottos. Verse 17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." These are mottos set before us that give us positive principles to live by. But if a motto also gives us positive principles to live by, it also warns us of error. For instance, again, the scout motto, which is "Be prepared," gives us the principle that we ought to be prepared. But it also warns against the error of being unprepared. So it is with the mottos that Peter sets before us. Each of them gives to us a particular duty, but each of them also warns us against a particular error. And so our task this morning will be to briefly look at each of these four Christian mottos, what they require of us, and the error against which they warn. Let's look at the first one. Honor all men. That's the motto that's set before us. And briefly stated, the two sides of it might be set forth like this. Christians are to respect and honor all men as created in God's image. And on the other side, Christians are warned against feelings of superiority which lead to treating others with scorn and contempt. So Peter says, very simply, honor all men. To honor is to revere and to respect and to treat others with courtesy. The same respect, in other words, is to be given to the rich man and to the poor man. The same courtesy, and you all know what courtesy is, the same courtesy is to be shown to the garbage collector as is shown to the president. You should have the same reverence for the person who works for you as the person for whom you work. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And this honor is not just reserved for other Christians. Peter says very clearly, honor all men. And Paul says again in Romans 13:7, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You see, there are to be no qualifications whatever made. And so, all alike are to be treated the same. with the same respect, the same courtesy, and the same honor. All partiality is to be excluded then from our Christian lives. We are to honor all men. And Paul says in Romans 12:18, so far as it depends upon you, live at peace with all men. Honor your wife. And if you're a wife, honor your husband. Honor your children and your parents. Honor your neighbor, the city councilman, the policeman, the meter reader, the store clerk or the company president, whether that individual is black or white or red or yellow, or a Christian or a Buddhist or an atheist, Peter says, honor all men. And you see, the error to be avoided is the feeling of superiority that we sometimes have. It is to be deplored that Christians very often think of themselves as superior to non-Christians. And sometimes Christians feel better than others because they have received a special gift from God. Such spiritual pride and arrogance is truly a grievous sin. And such self-exaltation really leads to treating others with scorn and contempt, and it is to be avoided. It is further to be deplored that some Christians look down upon other Christians because they feel that they have received some special gift or some special revelation, or perhaps hold to some special doctrine of scriptures that others do not hold to. This unwholesome air of superiority, you see, is an error that Peter warns against in this particular text. He says, honor all men. And by this he means do not dishonor others by assuming that you are better than they are. As Paul says again, with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Dear friends in Christ, let your motto be, honor all men. Then the second Christian motto of verse 17 is this, love the brotherhood. In short, the positive and negative sides of this particular motto can be stated as follows. Christians are to have a high regard for and lovingly serve the church. And Christians are warned against having a low view of the church. So Peter says, if you are truly a Christian, if you are born again of God, love the brotherhood. It should be clear as we look at the text that Peter is not emphasizing individual brothers or sisters. He says, love the brotherhood. The brotherhood is the society of believers. It is composed of men and women who confess Christ as Savior and Lord. It is composed of men and women who, by God's grace, have become spiritual brothers and sisters through faith in Christ and by the operation of the Holy Spirit. The brotherhood, you see, is this society of believers. It is the church. And Peter does not have in mind here some nebulous, intangible, invisible society. Peter has in mind a brotherhood which can be seen. Peter has in mind the believers that meet together in accordance with the Bible, who organize themselves in accordance with the Bible, who meet to worship the Lord on His day, who pray together, who have fellowship together. It is the church, the brotherhood of believers that Peter is talking about, who gather together to celebrate the sacraments, who remember the Lord's death in the Lord's Supper, and who embrace others
who believe in Jesus Christ through the sacrament of baptism. It is the body of believers who meet in various cities and in various places, like this place this morning. And Peter says concerning this particular society, this particular brotherhood, love it. And I think we ought to see further that Peter is not speaking of some nebulous, wishy-washy sentimentality. Peter is speaking of biblical love. And biblical love takes on concrete form through the deeds of men. It demonstrates itself. One of the verses I love is Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here is a demonstration of love. And we might well ask the question, how may you demonstrate your love for the brotherhood? The first way you may demonstrate your love for the brotherhood is by joining yourself to it. Then you can show your love for the brotherhood by attending all of the meetings of that brotherhood. It can hardly be said that we truly love the brotherhood when we don't join ourselves to it steadfastly. John Brown, in his commentary on this particular verse, has these words to say further. Every member of the brotherhood is to show his love by performing the duties belonging to the place he holds in the society. He is cheerfully to contribute his time and labor and property. Here is a way we can concretely display our love for the brotherhood. Another way that each of us can display our love for the brotherhood is through working for its increase, working towards the growth of the church of Jesus Christ, by working for its peace and purity. These are concrete ways in which you and I may love the brotherhood. The error that Peter, it seems to me, is warning against here is the error of maintaining too low a view of the church. It is to be deplored, you see, that some Christians have such a low view of the church that they disassociate themselves from the church. And they will not join themselves to it, nor will they attend the meetings of the church. And they will not give of their time and talent and property to the advancement of the church. To be sure, some Christians in this category view themselves as members of the church in that they are part of that great mystical body of Christ, past, present, and future. But these individuals never truly become a functioning part of the brotherhood. And this is an error that Peter warns against when he says, love the brotherhood. Then we come to the third motto, fear God. This is not a popular one, even in the church today. Simply stated, the two sides of this motto are as follows. Christians are to hold God in holy awe. They are to revere Him and to fear Him. Christians are warned, on the other hand, against a flippant attitude towards God which leads to loose living. And so Peter says, fear God. If you truly trust in God as your Savior, fear Him. Notice what the text says. Fear Him. Examples of found in the Old Testament particularly. when Moses was on Mount Sinai, what was his attitude? In Hebrews 12:21, we read, "So terrible was the sight that Moses said, 'I am full of fear and trembling.'" And when God met Abraham and covenanted with Abraham that first time, it is recorded in Genesis 15:12. "A deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him." And you remember the vision of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. It's familiar to some of you. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple, the first words of Isaiah were these, "Woe is me, for I am ruined." And when Daniel was given a vision by God concerning the future, Daniel himself said, "As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming, and my face grew pale." You see, each of these holy men of old, when faced by God, were in fear and trembling. And Jesus himself has these words to say when he talks about the power of God. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but who are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to kill both soul and body in hell." In other words, fear God because he has power over life and death. A healthy fear of God is needed. And this healthy fear of God will lead to holy living and to right conduct. Each of the Old Testament saints, when they learned a healthy fear of God, sought with all of their hearts to live a life which was right before God. And when Christians today see their God as their righteous creator and judge, and when they hold God in awe, Christians today will seek to live righteous lives. Now, what about the error that Peter warns against here? The error that Peter warns against here is an impertinent attitude towards God. Perhaps you've been there as I have. Some Christians, you see, look at God as if he were a celestial slot machine. You put your money in and you pull the handle and you take your chances with him. Or other Christians view God as existing for the benefit of men, as if God needed us. Paul says, however, in Acts 17, that God does not dwell in temples made with human hands as though he needed to be served by men. Such attitudes, when held by Christians, unfortunately, lead to a feeling when things don't go right. They lead to a feeling of railing against God, which ought not to be the case. There ought to be upon the land, you see, a healthy fear of God. And today, such is not the case, unfortunately. And it seems to me that the evidence of this very fact is the loose living and the lax morals that we see in the land today. It is to be deplored that there is not a fear of God upon the land. And Christians are much to be blamed for this. For Christians and the church today teach little, if anything, about the fear of God. And this is the very error that Peter warns against when he says very plainly, "Fear God." Then we come to the fourth motto, honor the king. This motto also has a positive and negative side, which might be stated like this. Christians are to respect and treat with courtesy all civil authority. And Christians, on the other hand, are warned against disorderliness and lawlessness, which brings reproach against Christ and the church. We don't really need to spend a great deal of time on this particular point. We dwelt on it at length when we looked at verses 13, 14, and 15 in this particular chapter of 1 Peter. Peter forthrightly sets forth the Word of God. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Christians are to submit to and respect civil government. And as long as civil government does not overtly require violation of the written Word of God, Christians are to obey civil government. It is to be deplored, to be sure, when Christians are disorderly and rebellious against civil authority. Such rebellion and lawlessness results in men and women speaking against Christ and His church. And such lack of respect for governmental authority hinders the advance of the gospel. It is against this error that Peter speaks when he says, "Honor the king." Here you have them then, very briefly, four Christian mottos. On one side, they represent for us positive action that ought to be taken. On the other side, they represent for us errors that ought to be avoided. Dear friends in Christ, will you take as your own these Christian mottos? To honor all men. To respect all men. And make it your aim to more conscientiously do this? Will you love the brotherhood? Will you make this motto your own? And will you, by God's grace, more lovingly serve the church? Fear God is the third motto. As we said, not popular today, but will you make this motto your own? And will you stand in holy awe of God? And will you display your healthy fear of God by living a more perfect life? Remember, dear friends, that there is much loose living in the world today because of a lack of the fear of God. And then the fourth motto again, honor the king. Will you make this motto your own? And by God's grace, will you be a good citizen and respect the laws of the land? Dear friends in Christ, receive the Word of God this morning in the form of four Christian mottos. Memorize them, won't you? Put them up in your home. Put them on the refrigerator door or on the back of the bedroom door and learn them. And by God's grace and to His greater glory, practice them. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, what a challenge you give us in your word. We are weak, but you are strong. And we pray, Father, that by your grace, each of us here present this morning might make mottos our own. The four of them, And may it be, Father, that by God's grace, by your grace, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, we might live then. Grant it, we ask. And help us through this, Father, that we might be a more positive influence and truly the salt of the earth in this world. Bless us to this end, we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.